Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Real quick, Sean, who's playing? Go.
Rangers are playing the Edmonton Oilers tonight.
Ding!
I don't know who the Islanders play. I just know Barzell got sacked because he missed practice, and I have no idea who the Devils are.
Carolina Hurricanes in Carolina for the Islanders, and the Devils are also out west in San Jose against the Sharks.
How about that?
So it's one of those hockey nights where you can watch the Devils and Rangers late into the evening.
That's right.
Let's do it.
Best hockey team in town.
I don't know. Rangers looking to build a winning streak there.
I do not understand when the hockey teams all go on the road at the same time. To me, it is a dumb strategy.
Huge missed opportunity for the hockey fans.
I understand why the Rangers are, but I don't.
Why?
I'm a massive week at the Garden. That's why the Rangers and Knicks aren't home.
No, but I mean
Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that has nothing to do with the Islanders and the Devils. Like,
right.
I know that the diehards are going to go to see their team. They're not going to see the other teams. But a lot of people are casual, especially the ones that show up. And so when one team isn't playing, you want to take advantage of it as opposed to them playing at home on the same night.
True.
I think that would hurt your attendance in theory.
I think the NHL just doesn't care.
Well, clearly not, because they're all on the road.
They don't even think of it.
I think that's exactly right.
Well, they may be wrong for not caring. Here's your Cinco.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. Still up to this moment, I'm having a tough time on how I want to word this, but I'll word it this way. Today is the one-year anniversary of the fifth inning from hell. It is one year ago tonight. We were sitting at Yankee Stadium wondering, wow, are the Yankees going to pull an 0-4 Red Sox? And then they had a lead. And then they blew a lead in a fifth inning we will never forget.
Are you going to allow me, since it's one year, a statute of limitations that I can release the tapes?
You know what, Evan?
Of me filming Sean during the inning of hell?
I got to be honest with you. A year has passed. Do I curse? Do I say anything that crazy?
I'll have to double check before I post.
If it's nothing where, like, I don't know, could be a problem with my contract, then sure. I don't care.
Okay. I'll look before I post it. I'll just double check to make sure.
Are people going to accuse me of being too hardcore a Yankee fan? I mean, right. Woo-hoo-hoo.
Plus, nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose. Plus, after what Evan released after the game I sat with him versus Toronto.
I know. How could it be worse than that?
Exactly. So I'm here to tell you, now that one year has passed, the five things that are bothering me more about that game and everything one year later. All right? Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
Juan Soto never wore a Yankee uniform again. Like, that was it. I just sat there. That was it. So we didn't know it that night when we walked out of the stadium, but that was it.
Even a year later, knowing...
Well, I mean, they made the World Series. They didn't come close this year. I don't care that Met fans could drink my tears. It bothers me he's not a Yankee. It does.
That was my question. So you are not over it, is what you're saying.
I'm not over it. I'll never be over it. The Yankees lost the legitimate free agent they had. I'm sorry. I'm not going to get over it. Good for the Mets. It bothers me. By the way, you see that video he put out there with the home run derby chain?
Yeah.
I think everybody's focused on chain. What's with that belly?
It's the offseason.
Dude.
You got to...
Didn't we do this
you
last
can't
year?
Get the belly in the offseason.
What was that?
You can't get the belly in the offseason.
No, but he was accused of having a belly last offseason, and he had a monster year.
There's no accusing. I mean, there's a gut.
I know, but you said the same thing when he was taking his pictures.
It's been a month. How does that happen?
Exactly.
Go to town.
What does it look like in February?
He was in Mexico, wasn't he? Or the Dominican? He was somewhere partying.
Dude, he's eating. All right, and here we go.
Number four.
We walked out of that stadium. Gerrit Cole hasn't thrown another pitch for the Yankees since. Mm.
That's a surprise. I think we obviously knew there was a chance Soto would leave, but obviously Gerrit Cole needing Tommy John sucked.
Terrible. All right, here we go.
Number three.
At this time last year, this very moment, we were talking about how much Anthony Volpe could build on that Grand Slam in Game 4. He didn't build on it. He got worse.
Yeah, went backwards.
All right, here we go.
Number two.
A year later, the Blue Jays have beaten the Dodgers more than the Yankees did.
Does that bother you?
It does. Now, again, it's convoluted because I want Toronto to win the World Series, but they're doing a better job this year than the Yankees did, clearly.
No, they already have done that, yes.
So
I mean, they've clearly done that already.
And last but not least.
Number one.
I this doesn't bother me, but it sort of does. Jackson Dart may win a championship before Aaron Judge does. And that dawned on me this week.
That is such a weird number one.
But it's actually in play.
Because that also means never for Judge.
Right. It means something good for the Giants.
Yeah. It is good for the Giants.
I don't know how to take that.
Because I love the Yankees too, but Aaron Judge played long enough. Like, think of it. Dart is all the buzz in town. What if he's a franchise quarterback? The Yankees feel like they're getting further away. Like, that's in play.
If I told you in the next 5 years, one of your sports teams is going to win a championship, and the only options you have, the Rangers are not included, the Nets are not included, it's either the Giants or the Yankees. One of them. One title in the next 5 years. Which one are you taking?
Yankees.
Which one are you taking, or which one do you believe it'll happen to?
No. Which one would you take? Not believe it, because the Yankees are clearly closer. I mean, which one would you take?
Yankees.
Really?
Easy answer. That's the in 5 years, Judge's window is going to be over.
I don't know. I would debate that.
No, but think about it. In 5 years, we're still really in Dart's prime. He's only telling me 5 years. Judge is probably cooked after the next 5 years.
Think about how hard it is, how hard it's going to be for the Yankees to win. Now, I'm not even talking about which one you would take. I'm talking about which one is most likely.
Oh, the Yankees are.
You said
most
the Yankees are most likely.
Clearly.
I don't know what the Yankees are.
The Yankees every single year.
But
will...
in the NFL, it's easy to flip. It's easy to go from bad to really good.
Yeah, but the Yankees are always going to be in the tournament. So next year, we'll be there for the division series.
But the Giants need to win less games when they get in the tournament.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's just a matter of coaching, roster, and it can happen in a year or two. Whereas the Yankees feel like, we running the same thing back next year.
Yeah, but it's also, believe it or not, as crazy as this sounds on the surface, and I know we went through this a couple of months ago, there's more parity in baseball than there is football. Like, it's easier to get past the dominant team in baseball than it is football. And a lot of that's the nature of the sport.
Okay, so but nature of the sport, speaking of that.
Yeah.
Why is that? Because most times, the great quarterbacks take away the parity in the NFL.
Yeah.
The Giants may end up with one of these
happened
guys.
Happened upon a really good quarterback.
Tiki, who has a better chance to win a championship next year, the Giants or the Yankees?
Next year?
Yeah, next year. I'm giving the Giants, forget this year, for the Giants next year. 2026 football season, 2026 baseball season. Who has a better chance to win a championship?
It's the Yankees.
Okay. That's all I'm saying.
That's how he asked at the beginning.
No, that's an easy answer. That's what he disagreed with me about. It morphed into a different debate. Sorry,
okay.
Sean.
I got you.
You got all kicked out of the debate. It became me versus Tiki after good. I was asking you the question.
Can't wait for you to debate this with everybody in section 344 on Sunday.
We're not in 344. Do you want me to tell everybody the section we're in? Me and Sean are going to the Giants game on Sunday. And I like to be open and honest if people want to come by and say hi to Sean.
You tell people like a 6...
312. We're in section 312.
Are we really in 312?
Yeah.
Why? What's wrong with 312?
What's wrong with 312?
There's nothing wrong with 312.
I had a very good seat for the game.
Are you concerned that you're so famous that people are going to mob you?
It's not fame. I just don't want to be bothered.
312, row 5, seat 7.
I had a very good seat for the game.
Row 5?
Yeah.
You promised me first row.
Okay, let me clarify here.
Clarify what? It's row 5.
It's first row. Tiki, do you want to explain it to him?
No.
You weren't on the chain for that one?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. So, in the upper deck, I sit first row, okay? Obviously, those are season tickets. The Giants are a very popular team. There aren't even any left for the Jets. So, what the person told me, I forget their name, very nice person, was I can get you no one in front of you. The fifth row is the beginning of that upper section.
So, you're sending us even further up than promised.
Rows 1 through 4 when you walk down. Like, you walk to the upper level and you walk down a few steps, it's 1 through 4. The fifth row is the first row of the upper part of the upper section. So, we're technically first row, we're just a little bit higher.
So, when I look down at the ticket, it's going to say row 5.
Correct. That's what I just said on the radio, yes.
One of the biggest regrets of my life.
No one's in front of us, Sean. Like, literally, no one's going to be in front of us.
No, 4 rows of people are in front of us, and then a little, like, thing.
Have you been to MetLife Stadium?
I've been to MetLife plenty of times.
Okay, so you know how there's 4 rows, and
I don't know that. I haven't been in the upper deck since I started.
You were so snooty.
I had a very good seat for the game.
So what? Am I allowed to be snooty?
Well, I'm explaining that it really is first row.
It's not. Yes, it's row five.
There's no one in front of us.
There's four people in front of us.
No, there isn't.
Okay. So then when they stand up and I'm doing this.
No. They won't.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Be in front of you because there's so much height. We're so much higher.
Oh, you're really doing a great sell job here, Ev.
They will not be. You'll see on Sunday.
Will I? That's the question.
Get out of here.
All right.
Wow. I had a very good seat for the game.
Isn't he something else, Steve?
Jeez. By the way, thank you, Chris Gorman. That's it.
Thank you, Chris.
I appreciate it.
I told him exactly where I want to sit. Sean doesn't like it, but
I was trying to look and see what how bad it is. It's not that bad.
It's a great seat,
dude. It's a great seat.
Yeah. And especially, like, what Sean doesn't even realize is the more he insults it, he's insulting anyone who's going to come up to him. Because everyone who comes up to him is in that section or in the vicinity of that section, and they're going to be like, you got a problem with my seats?
No, I'm not. The poors know they're the poors. I'm not going to insult them.
Did you just say
they're not cheap seats.
Do you know how much the tickets are? Because I pay for them. You want me to tell you?
Sure.
Do you want to know?
I actually don't want to know.
Oh, no, you don't want to know.
Because I know they're expensive. There's only nine games.
Do you think it's double digits? Or do you think it's triple digits?
I think every football ticket's at least triple. Well, I'm sorry. Every ticket up upper deck is triple digits. where the prince and princess sit.
That may be four digits.
Right.
All right. Let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. Dom is in Westport. What's up, Dom?
Hey, guys. Real quick, just want to make a couple of points, about your earlier discussion about the, current day versus the past and, your bias. It's a great point about biases, but I'm going to make a couple of arguments that refute your point, Evan. And, first of all, I think Kiki hit on some of these. The athletes today are much better. They're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster. I've been watching football for 55 years. I'm 65. I go back to the terrible Giants of the 70s, and I think of some of the guys on that team. They would never, ever be able to step on an NFL football field. The game is much better. You look at some of the plays, and I'll give you a great example. Lynn Swann's catch in the Super Bowl. And granted, it's a big stage, so right. It kind of gets a lot of hype. That catch is an everyday catch now if you look at the NFL.
That's so true. Yeah, that 50-50 catch where you just 100% sky over somebody. It's like, oh, yeah, I saw that on Sunday.
But, Dom, you're right about the athletes. No one could argue it. Which football was better to watch for you, 1975 or today?
Well, the Giants were terrible back then, so and they're terrible now, so there's really no difference.
Okay, okay, hold on, hold on. Let me frame it better. 1985, 1986.
Okay. Love 85 still today, even though, you know, and I agree, LT is, you know, it was amazing. Another thing, you think Ray Nitschke could catch Saquon Barkley?
And no, some of those other guys? But that to me isn't even the point, because I think even those that prefer their era will always give it to today's athlete.
Of course. They're just better conditioned and better shaped, stronger, faster.
But to defend Ray Nitschke, if he played in today's era, he would be faster and stronger.
True.
He would get to train a little bit differently. Like, I was talking off air about this with BT about Babe Ruth, because he said, yeah, you put Babe Ruth in today's World Series, he'd strike out five times. I don't disagree. But if you put Babe Ruth in today's era, in which he was able to go to the gym and eat properly,
would he be in shape?
I'm just going to assume yes, because the only way for him to be successful would be that. I would assume that Babe Ruth would be great. I think the great player would be great in every era. If I took Tiki Barber and I put you in today's football, you'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. If I put you in 1965 in Jim Brown's era, I think you'd be awesome.
Right.
I think great players will find ways to be great, no matter what era they're in, no matter what differences.
I agree with that.
Jody is in Warren, New Jersey. Hey, Jody.
Hey, Jody.
Hey, guys. First of all, love you guys. Evan, don't hit your computer screen yet. Give me a minute.
Okay.
I mean, you know, first of all, do you ever wonder, like, I've sometimes been on hold for you guys for like 2 hours. Is that pretty impressive?
It's Tiki's fault. I don't know why Tiki does it.
Fine.
He says to me all the time, he's like, let's make Jody wait.
With that. My love for you guys is so intense. But Evan, which I do agree with you, and I was 11 watching the 1969 Jets as well as Mets. You know, let's be honest. Bud Harrelson was what? 5'4", 135 pounds. Rocky Marciano, heavyweight at 185. But to your point, genetically, today, you know, The Rock is 250. Bud Harrelson is, you know, 6'2" or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, so that's the main thing. That's why the argument of the sports today. But, so your question is, do I enjoy watching the games better today?
Do you?
I do.
Really?
I do. Because the athletes are better today. Of course, I could be nostalgic about Jerry West, Walt Frazier, Pistol Pete, you know, Willis Reed would be a small forward today.
Jody, what about how the game is played? What about like the ins and outs of the game itself? Forget the athlete for a second.
I miss the hard hitting of, you know, the unabashed hitting of the NFL then.
Right.
That was, you know, you could crush the quarterback, and then, you know, as you got up, you could punch him in the face. That was fun to watch. Obviously, couldn't do that today.
No.
But, you know, so that was fun. It's almost why, you know, Tiki, it's almost watching then and now, you really can't compare. But a couple more things before I hang up. Can you guys think about a caller contest at Sean's approval, of course? I would love to, but, like, one day I win. And I go to Sean's house, and I'm able to watch a game at that cool outdoor bar he has.
That's a great idea.
That's, of course, I'm Sean. And the other thing is, Tommy, I was either yesterday or 2 days ago, sorry, Tommy, when I was listening to his show, he brought up a great point. He said, arguing about referees is like honking in traffic. I've used that like 10 times.
It's a great line. No, he used that on our show, and I saw it on his video, and it's probably one of the smartest things he's ever said.
It's very true, because there's nothing that they're going to do about it unless there's a crisis that starts to develop where people don't, I'm not talking about the fan, I'm talking about the teams.
Yeah.
Don't trust the referee.
No, you're right. It's a great analogy, Tommy. The only thing I question, and I'd ask you, because you're the one who came up with the comparison, is what do you then do when there are bad calls in sports? You need to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Not excuse it, but acknowledge it. So you're okay with honking, but we just got to continue to not honk that often?
Yeah, I think.
How would you frame that?
I think a horn was put in a car to avoid accidents. We have now created a world where the horn is, I'm pissed off that there is traffic, so I'm just going to honk my horn out of frustration because there's nothing that can be done about the traffic in this city or in the tri-state area. Does that make sense? So we're frustrated about either our team stinks or we're losing games, and so we're going to honk the horn and blame officials.
Let me ask you this, as the executive producer of this show, and we will take criticism totally fairly. On Monday's show, we spent a good segment breaking down the bad calls and even ranking them. Should we not have done that?
No, you should, because there's a lot of people out there that want that blood. You know what I mean?
So we need to honk the horn
but just not.
I won't honk the horn.
It's going to do nothing.
It's going to do nothing.
That's the point, is that we could scream and yell about, oh, my God, the officials, this, that. They want the Chiefs to win. They want the Eagles to win. No, the Chiefs are better than everybody. The Eagles are better than the Giants. Right. The better teams win.
I don't think I don't think there was a bias one way or another about who they wanted to win or not.
Oh, they were horrible.
I just think that they were incompetent.
They were just bad.
They were.
And it was bad. But, and that's unacceptable. And the thing that you scream and yell about is for accountability from them.
Bingo.
There is none. I'm sure they're graded, and that crew won't be working in the playoffs this year. But you'll never hear that. We won't hear about that. There won't be some report, some audit of the referees in the NFL this year. And you start to create this imposition of impropriety where you feel like these guys are, is there an ulterior motive? I don't know.
What would be helpful in sports, and I know that the 2-minute report doesn't make anyone feel better in the NBA, but it's an acknowledgement
of the error.
And I'm a huge fan of that.
The NFL absolutely should do that.
I think the NFL should do two things, and this goes for all sports, but the NFL should have a 2-minute report. Not even a 2-minute report. We call it the hour report, like the whole game. Let's acknowledge the missed calls.
Right.
To show you as a league, this is the best thing the NBA does, even though they get no credit for it, in which they say, hey, final 2 minutes, bad call. So, number one, I think the NFL should have full transparency on what they think were bad calls.
Yep.
And even defend the ones that we're screaming about and say, no, 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 it's true. The other thing that sports should do, they'll never do this, is when a player sucks in sports, we talk about it. And there are stats to back it up. I think we need to start seeing the stats of referees.
Right.
The ones they got the ones they got wrong.
Well, baseball does do this, don't they?
Sort of.
To an extent.
So, Yes Network, and I think Yes started this, they will show an umpire's tendencies.
Right.
But that's not like hard data in terms of they got these calls right.
Don't they have missed balls and strikes?
There's a Twitter account called Umpire Auditor that does that.
Right.
That's not baseball.
Right.
But it's awesome. And they should do that. I completely agree. Like, if you're the NFL or baseball, but let's stick with the NFL first for this discussion. And every game, they release a referee report. This is what was right. This is what was wrong. We now have data on how Hockley's percentage was in successes. And then when a game starts and Fox says, all right, here's your lead referee, show us the stats.
Yeah.
And therefore, we will now know, and everyone will know, how good someone is. We do it with the athletes. We do it with you when you played. Tiki had how many fumbles?
Right.
Why was it okay to put that up there but never acknowledge all the referee screw-ups?
Right.
Is this my best idea ever?
I mean, it's a genius idea.
Thank you. Makes me so proud when he says
and
that.
And maybe the horn will stop honking as much.
There you go.
The horn will never stop honking.
I don't think so. It'll lead to an accountability. If you know that this guy sucks and then he goes and he really sucks, maybe he gets fired.
Bingo. What we need in society, probably more now than ever because of gambling, is accountability.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need. We'll get back to your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. And I do have a question for you. Victor Wembanyama of the San Antonio Spurs. Is he impressive?
Of course he's impressive.
That's what I thought. I was like, he's impressive. He's like the guy in sports I most want to watch. Spurs are off to a 4-0 start. He's averaging 31-13. He is like something we've never seen before. And our former boss, but respected basketball man, Spike Eskin, had a hot take a few days ago that I thought about. He's like, I'm not impressed by this guy. He's 7'4". You know, he should score 50 a game. He should win an NBA title every year. I am not impressed. So I heard this opinion by my dear friend and former coworker, and I was like, what an idiot. Now, what a hot take artist. But then I gave it more thought, and then Spike Eskin revealed an email he received from a professor who explained to him, I actually agree with you, and I would like to back up your point with some data.
Okay.
And so I'm listening, and I have to tell you, and I'm going to play it for you so you can hear the data to back up why Victor Wembanyama is not impressive. And I'll tell you, it was pretty convincing.
Huh.
And I'm a Wembanyama kind of guy.
Right.
So the email basically explains, in a nutshell, because he's so tall, he is 7'4".
He barely has to jump to dunk.
And his wingspan is so long, and his hands are so big, I want to put it in layman's terms using mathematics for people to understand the advantage he has. So based on his size and based on the emailer being 5'9" and me being 5'9" and you being 5'9", this is what it would be like if we were Victor Wembanyama and everyone else was the equivalent
of people compared to him. Does that make sense?
Yes, makes sense.
So, ladies and gentlemen, here is our former coworker, Spike Eskin, reading this email and explaining the advantage we would have at 5'9" in comparison to the advantage Wembanyama has at 7'4".
So in sum, I'd have to play against a bunch of kids between 4th and 8th grade on a rim modified to be lower than regulation for 6-year-olds with a youth size 4 soccer ball on a tennis court. I cannot imagine any of my friends would be impressed if I dropped 40 and 15 under those conditions. And that, my friends, is what I was trying to say.
So because he's so tall and so big, the equivalent would be me playing with fourth graders
right.
on a hoop that's only 8 feet tall with a smaller basketball.
On a tennis court.
Yeah, on a tennis court, because the court wouldn't be as big because of his size.
Right.
Does that not affect you slightly on the impressiveness of Victor Wembanyama?
I mean, he's still damn impressive. And it's not like he's... These guys are professional athletes. So I understand the size comparison. But a fourth grader just emotionally and physically is not even going to try if you come and just beast them. So, I don't know. It's interesting perspective.
It got me thinking, I must say.
It gets you thinking, but he's still impressive.
Well, he's still impressive because there's been other guys, not a lot, but there have been other guys who have played in the NBA who were 7'3 or 7'4.
They just weren't as athletic as him.
They were not on the same planet when it comes to the athleticism of this man.
Right. He can handle, he can drive, he can shoot, he can do everything.
And so even if he does have this ridiculous advantage of the height and wingspan that he has, and he does, I think those mathematics are fascinating. To just remind you, like, hey, it'd be like me playing with fourth graders. He still has to do it, and we've never seen anyone else do it.
No, not like that.
Not even close. I mean, think about the other 7'4" players we've had.
How tall was Wilt?
He was not 7'4". I think he was 6'11", 6'10", yeah.
But when he played, how much taller was he?
That's a great question. So Wilt was listed at 7 foot, and I would agree with you that he had a size advantage over most other guys in that era of the NBA.
Which is why he scored, allegedly, 100 points.
Right. Oh, yeah, he had a huge size advantage.
Because he could do that.
Do we minimize Will Chamberlain's accomplishments because of that? No. Maybe a little bit.
No.
Slightly.
Are you serious?
I think some people do, yeah.
No, he was a legend.
No, I'm not saying he isn't a legend, but does it affect him when people have the GOAT debate? Like, well, who did he play? It's the same thing that Babe Ruth goes through.
Right, right.
It's actually kind of similar in a way. So what I learned from that exercise is I think there's a lot of validity to it, that Wembanyama has this huge edge because of his size, but you still have to do it.
Right.
And the biggest question I have about this man, who I can't wait to see, he's actually number one on my list in terms of the professional athlete I'm most excited to watch, is can he stay healthy?
Yeah.
Like, that is going to be the question, because I think when you have someone of that size, can you play 75 games? Can you play 35 minutes a night? Can you do all of that and maintain that level of ability? That's always going to be my question about Victor Wembanyama. But I thought the mathematics really made you think.
But isn't Wemby at more of a disadvantage because of his height?
Why?
You look at guys that were that tall in the NBA in the past. George Mirosan, Taco Fall, Manute Bol, Sean Bradley. They were like mummies on the court.
Yeah.
You're so tall, it's like you have to be even extra athletic to be good. So you're not factoring in the skill of being a basketball player. You still have to put a ball in through the net and through the rim.
Just a much smaller ball on a really tiny hoop compared to you and I.
I know, but those guys all stunk.
Yeah,
Ming was good, because he had skill.
Yeah, but I felt like most of those guys you were just referring to, Tommy, had like heavy feet. Like, they couldn't pick up their feet. Wemby can pick up his feet and put them
but
down.
Isn't that a credit to him, though?
Oh, no,
like,
that's
it's
what,
not just 100%. His height that makes him great.
But that's what makes him so unique and so exciting to watch. He is nothing we've ever seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, period. You don't have to be impressed by him,
right.
But we have never seen a big man with this kind of skill. There's no question. Because all those other guys who were 7'4", 7'5", the rare guys, because it's not a long list,
no.
They were, as you put it, I'll be less nice about it, they were bumbling idiots on the court. No, they really were.
Well, it's why you have to give him credit, because, yes, he might be playing against fourth graders relatively to us.
Equivalence.
But he also is doing it at a ridiculously skilled level.
Do you think he's going to stay healthy his whole career?
No.
That's the sucky part.
Don't. He's so thin, man.
Yeah. And he's big. And, like, look, big men tend to eventually have foot issues. I mean, as great as Yao Ming was, Yao Ming got hurt. Like, it just happened. So I hope he stays healthy, because I think he is a joy to watch in the brief times I've had a chance to watch him. But yeah, like when we made that list, I think we did it a few days ago. Sean did a Cinco on the athlete you'd pay to watch. To me, he's number one on the list.
Now he is, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, there's right now he is.
There's no doubt.
But those mathematics make you think a little bit with the advantage he has.
Right.
Let's go to Vinny in Staten Island. Hey, Vinny.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
It's actually funny, Evan. I work in an elementary school, and I could promise you no fourth grader is moving like Sadiq Bey or Nick Claxton. I can guarantee you that.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
But I do want to comment, guys, about, you know, talking about what sports, the difficulty and everything compared to back then to now. And I think I actually got into a debate about this recently, and I think the pitching in baseball has been so infinitely better now. And even the hitters, they keep making the strike zone smaller.
Right.
And the strikeouts are just keep going up because of the way these guys can throw. And the guy that I always go to, and he would win his games, don't get me wrong, he's a Hall of Famer, he's great. But I watched a game recently that Greg Maddux pitched, and he was getting strikes about 3 feet off the plate. And I think the way these pitchers are throwing the ball now is just stuff that we've never seen before. I don't even think baseball is in the same realm as it used to be.
But in fairness to Greg Maddux, who I mentioned the other day is pound for pound the best pitcher I've ever seen, if you gave him the same pitching labs all around baseball.
Yeah, that's the difference.
And the same way to study the movement on his cutter, I think he would be able to spin the baseball as well as anybody. Yeah. And also, he made adjustments because umpires gave him an extra inch. If they stopped giving him the extra inch, he'd adjust.
Yeah.
Like, I can't penalize Greg Maddux because he took advantage of umpires that gave him more room in the strike zone.
Yeah, but I think what he was alluding to was exactly what I was saying. Just the design, the schemes, right? The pitch structure. Like we're just watching this thing about the Yankees and their pitching lab and how they're just working with these kids with the angles and the arm slots and how you're holding the gripping. Like, you didn't used to do any of that.
It's different. And I think that
so
those...
different.
Speaking of the Yankees, do you think Michael Kay got John Flaherty fired?
No.
Have you heard this?
No.
So, I didn't think that. So, yesterday, John Flaherty...
Why would we think that?
I'm going to show you why.
Okay.
So, John Flaherty is out at the Yes Network. And I heard the news yesterday, and I was sad. John's done a great job.
Hey,
good for
him.
He's
been there forever.
He's been there for...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Very long time. I don't know the reason he's not coming back. I don't know. Maybe a contract dispute. I have no idea.
One of the first shows they did was This Week in Football. I was one of the hosts.
That's right. That's right.
Launched.
So John Flaherty's out at the Yes Network, and immediately... people are accusing Michael Kay of getting him fired. And so my reaction is, what?
Mm.
Like, I mean, I don't know Michael that well, but I don't think he's getting John Flaherty fired. And then I saw this video from last year that I think, or 2 years ago, that we played on the air to make fun of. And that was the awkwardness between Michael Kay and John Flaherty. So this video is the reason why people think what? Michael Kay got John Flaherty
ago.
Fired.
It was 2 years ago.
Maybe they had to wait a little bit. So here's the video, and then we'll give you our diagnosis on if Kay deserves any blame. Take a listen.
The middle of a residential neighborhood.
Yeah, and you know, you weren't very talkative on the bus this morning to the field, but as I was driving here, I was thinking it'd be great to get a place that's close. You can walk back and forth. I know you mentioned Don Zimmer living out the apartments out in center field. But I just had a lot of time to think on the team bus today because it was just very quiet.
So you'd rather me be chatty. I wasn't feeling great.
I haven't seen you in a long time, right? You don't work road trips anymore when I'm on the road. So I thought we would catch up, but it quickly was evident that you weren't in the mood. So I gathered my thoughts about how it would be nice to live close to Wrigley, walk back and forth to the park.
Interesting narrative that you're putting together, because I've been told by executives that you prefer to work with Rucco. That's why you two guys are matched up all the time. Huh. I mean, that's just what I heard. I don't know if there's any truth to it.
I just put it together that the road trips you don't want to go on, that I end up working with Ryan Rucco because we're willing to work the games on the road.
Ground ball to short, Swanson.
Wow.
Listen, John, I don't pick out my schedule. I go where I'm told.
I'll
be very chatty tomorrow.
Ooh.
No, I just want to make sure that you're okay. I was a little worried about you.
Oh, gee. So after hearing all that, do you think that Michael Kay got John Flaherty fired?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
Sean,
who makes the schedule?
I mean, executives at Yes, I assume.
So why would they not want Michael Kay on the road?
I don't know. I can't speak on that. Do you think Michael Kay got John Flaherty fired?
1,000%.
Really? Because of this interaction?
Not because of that interaction.
All that interaction told me is...
They don't like each other.
There's more beyond that interaction. And Michael Kay he's the guy at Yes. And that sounds like terrible to say he got him fired. I think he probably gave input on, you know, the future and guys' contracts.
Yeah, you want to soften it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like Tom Thibodeau being fired. It's not like Jalen Brunson got him fired. It's
right.
Like when Jalen Brunson
when
was
asked about it.
It was 2 years ago, though.
But it sounds like there's tension there.
Okay, but what happened in the interim year?
I don't know. They probably didn't work together.
All I know is if you're hearing that on the air, what has existed off the air that we don't know about?
So you think
that... it's hard to get much worse than that.
That was very uncomfortable. Like, the more... I remember hearing it 2 years ago, and hearing it again is like... It's bad.
I remember hearing it and being naive and thinking, oh, they're joking with each other. Now hearing it, like, I don't think that was a joke.
So you think Michael Kay got, you know, basically said, get him out. Or said, I'm not opposed to you getting him out.
Yeah, like, you know, we're thinking about this. You know, I'm okay going in another direction.
Interesting. What do you think, Tommy? You've studied this tape before.
Yeah, you could tell that there's bad blood. There's one thing to do some bantering, like people think I hate Sean, and I do. But at the same time, then we do a debate. When you had that awkward silence after I don't make my schedule, oh, my God. It was like sitting out having dinner with your in-laws. I mean, it's like, can somebody say something? So, yeah, there's heat there.
So Michael Kay has no input on the schedule?
He's got to, right?
He's
been there for a million years. He's the voice of the Yankees. I'm sure he does.
It's clear that Flash hit the button there. So maybe Michael doesn't want to be on the road, and Flaherty knew that's a button you could push because Michael makes a schedule. That's kind of how I took that, because why would Flaherty say that unless he had inside information and knew that's the button to hit to get him annoyed?
I will tell you why I feel very strongly Michael Kay had nothing to do with the firing of John Flaherty. Yeah. I got two reasons.
You're a piece of work.
Yeah, really.
Why am I a piece of work?
You send us off the plank, off the ship here. We're going to get a text any minute here.
That's exactly it. You play the audio, you go around the room, go, all right, who's going to sink themselves, and I'm going to tell them why they're wrong.
Why would you sink yourselves? You could have any opinion you want about
it. And I stand by the opinion. It's just funny how you did the order of that. You know what I mean?
Because the next time I see Michael Kay over some soft serve in the press box, now
it's going to be uncomfortable?
He doesn't know who you are.
So two things about Michael Kay. The two reasons why I do not believe he got John Flaherty fired.
Go ahead.
Number one is going to be a compliment on Michael. The other one's going to be kind of mean, but it'll end up defending him. The compliment will be, Michael is such a nice guy. Like, every time I've interacted with him, like, five or six times at Yankee Stadium, he came over to me when I first got middays with Joe and was like, congrats. Like, he was such a nice dude.
Okay.
That guy's too nice to fire someone. So that's number one, he's a nice guy. But here's the second part about Michael
Kay. But getting him fired is not him directly firing Flash, though. That's different.
I get you. I don't think he would do it.
Yeah.
I think if he was asked his opinion, he'd probably be like, he's fine. It's up to you. Do what you got to do.
Right.
But here's the second thing about Michael Kay. And it's a knock on him, but it will defend him. He's very sensitive. And he knows what is said about him. And so he knows this video is out there. he's referred to it, and he knows it, and he's tried to downplay it, rightfully so. Mm. And so Michael knows if he ever had anything to do with getting John Flaherty fired, schmucks like me or you or anyone would say, it was Kay, listen to the audio. He knows that. So even if he didn't like John Flaherty, he would never put himself in a position to be accused of that. So there's no way
so
he did.
So why are we accusing him then?
Because of the audio that I just played.
But that was 2 years ago.
I don't know, just to see what people think. People have an opinion. I'm giving you my opinion. I don't think based on his own sensitivity, and then also me and my five interactions with him, I don't think he has it in him. I don't think he would have done it. So I don't think he got John Flaherty fired. You guys do. I respect
sure,
that.
Sure. This is, you know, I've learned a lot about Evan Roberts in 2.5
what?
Years.
Yeah.
Evan He's a schmuck.
Evan Roberts. Why are you attacking me? What did I do?
Tiki's too smart to fall for your tricks. I eventually have to
There's
get
no
there.
There's no trick. I played the clips Hold and on. Let you guys decide. If you wanted me to go first.
You just have to listen to it objectively. Don't think about the agenda that Evan has.
Oh, you're right.
I
right.
Have no
this
agenda.
Is why. Here's the agenda. Evan likes going around the room and going, somebody's going to say what I actually feel, and then I'm able to be the good guy at the end. And I gave it to him, and he went, good, I'm going to clear now. I'm going to tell you why he didn't even know Sean said exactly
Yeah, and Sean ate the cheese, and then you figured, all right, we'll send Lugauer in there. He's an idiot, too. Now we're both on the boat. Mm. Now our stupid pictures will be in a New York Post article.
Who cares?
Oh, I don't care. But the
So
fact-
then why do you care?
No, but I don't
you
care.
You gave an opinion.
I really don't. But I don't need dirty looks at the soft serve ice cream machine either when I see
so
it.
So then what if you
We
were
don't
so-
care. No, we don't
I'm
care.
I'm messing around.
It's just
I don't
a matter
care.
Of the audience should know that Evan Roberts also feels how we feel. That's all.
No, I don't. I just gave you my feelings.
No, I think Evan would give his honest opinion.
I would give my honest opinion. I have no reason to sugarcoat it. Two things about Kay. And one was a compliment. One was kind of douchey.
Yeah.
The compliment is he's a nice guy.
Thank you, SNY. Oh. Baseball Night in New York is coming up next, brought to you by the Tri-State Cadillac Dealers. You can get out of this yes conversation.
Would SNY ever allow Gary Cohen to fire
Stupid,
an announcer?
Ridiculous conversation that Evan brought up. Please leave him.
He's a nice guy from my interactions, but he's also smart enough to know that people would say he did it. Because he knows what's said about him.
Wow, that's sports talk. Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started.
You know what I'm going to do to ease your pain, Sean?
What's
Opening
that?
Day, if we are at Yankee Stadium, when I see him, what I'm going to say is, without missing a beat, and this will make you appreciate me, I'll say, hey, Mike, how was your winter? By the way, why'd you get Flaherty fired? And
oh,
just see, and see, and I bet you he'll laugh. He'll smile. He'll be like, oh, stop with that. You know.
Okay.
Will that make you feel better?
Yeah. Hey, Mike, why did John Flaherty get let go, and why did you have something to do with it?
No, the way I phrased it.
Okay.
I just told you. I'd say, hey, Michael, why'd you get Flaherty fired?
Well, he's obviously an ice cream fan. You should disarm him with Mr. Softy. Come with the ice cream, and then maybe you might get,
Why
like,
do you guys keep mentioning ice cream? Did something
because
happen?
Because I think Sean...
Both times I've seen him, the last two times at Yankee Stadium, the last two times I was directly behind him.
In the press room. Yeah, he's
oh,
got
wait,
a sweet tooth.
Actually, now that I remember it, if I'm not mistaken, and I left Tiki.
Wow.
So, during the World Series, I went to get ice cream. And I got soft serve, and I left. I was on my merry way, had a very good day, ate my ice cream. Sean comes to me later and says, bro, you're not going to believe what you just did. I said, what did I do? I got my ice cream. Sean claimed I broke the ice cream machine, and the guy behind me online was Michael Kay.
That's right.
And he was apparently not happy with the guy who broke the ice cream machine.
You're right. Did I watched the whole thing unfold.
Wow. Was it actually broken?
Yeah, it was.
Was it just out of ice cream or broken?
It was, and the problem was Evan is so oblivious. It was clunking as Evan was putting down, but Evan sees ice cream dripping out of it.
I didn't care.
And that was it for the ice cream. Mm. And Michael Kay was literally looking at the cookies, pivoting, who broke the machine?
Is there not a there's other ice cream machines, though. Can't you just get ice cream somewhere else in the stadium that you can't deliver it to him?
Not like, for that's free. Not for free.
I see. So you're saying that he wants free ice cream.
So I broke the ice cream machine, but they did get it fixed at some
point. That's the
one right?
positive about doing games or shows from over there. The soft serve.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that was the best part.
Yeah. Before you eat, soft serve.
Oh, my goodness. So good. I went to town on that. I didn't even realize I broke it. Sorry about that to Michael and anyone else that affected.
He probably thought it was Flaherty.
No doubt.
Now that he knows it's you, I mean, you're in trouble.
This is the greatest Seinfeld episode of all time. It's going to later come out, you know what? I did get Flaherty fired. It's because of the ice cream mistake before Game 5 of the World Series.
And now Flaherty's going to hate you, Evan, because of what you did, though.
And it's going to come out that it wasn't Flaherty, it was me. All right, well, whatever.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.